Today is special because our whole church family, kids and youth and teachers, as well as everyone else, are gathered together. There will be a number of people participating and quite a few things happening. I haven't done a lot of fishing, but I have dropped a line in the water. There is nothing quite like the excitement of feeling that sudden tug on the end of your rod and knowing that your patience has been rewarded. You can wait a long, long, long time to catch a fish. Many of us don't have the patience for waiting, or the equipment, or the knowledge to catch fish. But God has called us to be fishers of people, and we are expected to figure out how to do it. The Bible gives us lots of instructions. It gives us Jesus and the apostles' examples, and a general knowledge about how to introduce people to God. But it's up to us to get to know the local fishing holes and gather the tools and experience that we need to catch fish in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, in our schools, and our homes. We need to keep our eyes open to find ways to draw people to Jesus. We need to talk to canny, experienced fisher people to get tips from them. Now, Jesus called his disciples and told them that he would make them fish for people. And we are meant to be Jesus' disciples. So what does it mean to be fishers of men? What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be luring people into God's kingdom, helping them come to Jesus, to know him and to love him. They need to know that while they're swimming about in the cold, dark, dangerous sea, that God wants to bring them to a place of safety, warmth, and light. So how do we coax fish away from the only environment that it's ever known? Fishermen know some secrets that might help us here. Have you ever looked at a tackle box? Have you seen all the fishing lures that fishermen use? Now, I have sort of a tackle box here. And I want everyone to come up and have a look, but please don't touch because there are hooks in there. Okay? And once you've had a look, you go back so that other people can look at. Okay? See the fishing lures? Don't touch them. Aren't they real? Okay. All right, don't touch them, sweetheart. Good. Now you can sit back down. They are all shapes and sizes, and they're really beautiful. And they're lovely shades of green and blue and pink. And a fisherman will put one of these on the end of his line and dangle it in the water, trying to lure the fish with its pretty colors and the way it floats and moves in the water. Yes, a fishing lure is just that. It shows color and beauty to the fish in the hope of attracting it. We as Christians need to show color and beauty too. God is the creator of all that is lovely in the world. Are we showing the excitement and fun that is the Christian life? Do we have enthusiasm for the life in Christ, or do we front a drab, dutiful exterior? Do we seize the freedom that we have been promised, or do we confine ourselves and our church in habits that are legalistic, predictable, and dull? Something I notice about working with kids is that when you ask for volunteers, every hand goes up. They're excited. They don't shift around in their chairs and put their eyes on the floor. Their question's always, what's next? And we need to be excited by our faith and to avoid getting into routines that are anything but colorful or enticing to the people that God wants us to reach. Now, I happen to have some edible lures here. I don't know you well enough yet to know if any of you are allergic to things that you shouldn't have, but if you could take them back when you go and sit with your mom and dad, and they can tell you whether you can have it or not. So if you want to come on up and help yourself to a gummy shark or a gummy worm, and then you can go and sit in your seats.
Can anybody smell anything? I asked Judy and some others if they'd help spread some nice scents around, because that's what we're going to talk about next.
I've been reading up on fishing, and something else I found out is that fish are attracted to smells. Yep, they like food smells, things that likely would be tasty to them. So we have to ask ourselves, do we smell attractive? Now, I don't want everyone to start testing their deodorant. Wait till after church. But as Christians, we do need to ask ourselves what kind of scent we give off. Is it one that draws people or repels them? Do we attract people with Jesus' sweet scent of love and acceptance? Or do we drive them away with skunkish smells of harsh judgment and a we're better than you attitude? We want people to follow us to Jesus because we give off that whiff of the bread of life. Close your eyes and think for a moment about how the smell of baking bread draws you. We don't want to smell like the dumpster out the back of the bakery where things are rejected. People can smell things long before they see them. Or even if we look like we're doing all the right things, spreading the word, praying, giving stuff away, if we don't do it all in love, people will know. I'm going to put up a symbol. This perfume bottle will remind us that we need to smell well. And we're going to have a dramatic reading of Scripture.
If I speak with the tongues of mortals and of angels, but have not love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing.
And if I give all my possessions to the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing.
The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. God is love.
Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. God is love.
And God demonstrates God's love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for all of us.
Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails.
So, okay. We can read that passage and take the word love and replace it with God. And we can find out exactly what God is like. I wonder what would happen if I put my own name there. Anthony is patient. Oops, struck out already.
Well, let me try. Okay. Barbara is kind. Yeah, sometimes. And is not jealous. Well, most of the time. Barbara does not brag. Ouch. And is not arrogant. Oh, darn, this is tough. Melody, your turn.
Melody does not act unbecomingly. Wait, what does that mean anyway?
Let's just say that most of your actions at the church retreat last summer could be considered unbecoming.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Did that kid ever get the peanut butter out of his hair?
Oh.
Never mind. Let's go on to the next one. Melody does not seek its own, is not provoked, and does not take into account a wrong suffered. I bet my husband would disagree.
Yeah, my wife too. Along with pretty much all of my friends. Let's see. What else is there? Anthony does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Can I fit my name in this passage anywhere? Anthony bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Anthony never fails? Wow. Not only did I strike out, I think I've been kicked off the team and sent home.
That's okay. We all have. But the good news is that God knew when this was written that we would fall short sometimes. Nothing we've done surprises God one bit.
So is there anything we can do to show God our love?
Actually, there is. Look at what Jesus said in Mark 12:30, the first and the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
Now that we can do by God's grace.
Something else that fishermen do is to put real bait on their lines. There is actual food there, something solid. They aren't just pretending to offer something, and we shouldn't be either. In order to lure people to Jesus, we need to have authentic, solid lives of faith. We need to be living out our beliefs all week long and demonstrating how relationship with God influences all our decisions. We should be honest about how we've been hurt and how often we failed. Our lives aren't perfect, and we all know what it's like to be in the cold, dark sea, lost and alone. It's not come to Jesus and everything will be cuddly kittens and butterflies from now on. But instead, it is knowing that God is with us through our struggles, and that ultimately, the purest and best dreams, the ones that God has given us, will come true. And I'm going to put a symbol up. Now, I know that there's some real Coke in there, and what do we know about Coke? It's supposed to be the real thing. And I know that there was some real Coke in there. But we need to be sure that if we're claiming to be Christians, people can see the love of God in us, and that we are being honest. And Chanel has offered to help with a monologue called Lana the Liar.
Hello, my name is Lana, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm an overeater. Okay, I'm a liar, but nobody knows that because I'm so good. I got skills. Okay, everybody knows. But that's not my fault because I was born this way. Because I had a rough childhood. Because it makes me feel better. Would you just let me tell it? Sheesh. There's this girl at school. They say, I don't know if I could pick her out of a crowd. Maybe I saw her picture. Okay, she sits in front of me in English. She's a real religious type. Can't say two words without mentioning how tight she is with God. So, there I am, just chilling with my boyfriend. Hanging with my peeps. Okay, I was in home ec. Don't laugh, I make a mean creme brulee. Anyway, I had just ruined a beautiful plan. I don't know what distracted me. I don't want to talk about it. My dog just died. Okay, my parents are splitting up. But it's okay, because everyone knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Anyway, well, I got, you know, an F on the plan, and I couldn't even find it in me to care. I asked to be excused, and I went to the bathroom, and that girl's in there. She says to me, what's wrong? I figure she's psychic. Okay, so maybe I said something. Okay, so maybe I was crying like a baby. I said nothing's wrong, and she said I was lying. Called me a liar right to my face. Can you believe that? So, I told Miss Smarty Pants what's going on. I told her about my parents, that I got my fourth speeding ticket in a month, and that I'm about to lose my car. That I was the queen of the school last week, but suddenly I'm nothing, and I have no idea why. If I had a book entitled Why Lana is No Longer Queen, I still wouldn't know. If Einstein, with all his intelligence, explained it to me, I'd have nary a clue. If the heavens opened up and the Lord himself gave me revelation about it, I still have no idea. Okay, I have some idea. And I was waiting for her to tell me what a mess I was and that I had just got my life together, get religion and all that, that my parents wouldn't split up. But she didn't. All she said was, I'm sorry. She's sorry? What's she got to be sorry for? Then she told me some bad stuff happened to her, and the only thing that got her through it was her relationship with Jesus. Then I smelled something funny, and it wasn't the toilet. Anyway, why is this person trying to be my friend all of a sudden? And then it hits me. I don't know why it took me so long, since I am a registered genius. I have an A average. B average? Okay, never mind, but I've got street smarts. Would you lay off that thing? Okay, so it dawns on me. She's not trying to con anybody. She thinks she's telling the truth. Strange thing to be standing in the presence of the insane. But I rose above it. I don't want to do anything with this God stuff. I said I could see where she was coming from, but that didn't change anything. All right, I might have given it some thought, but I think I was caught in my emotions or something. Weak stomach? Knock it off! So what if it spoke right to me? It doesn't change anything. No, it doesn't. Quit it. It didn't affect me. Why are you doing this to me? I asked her to pray for me. No big deal. Look, I haven't done any... You want me to say it changed me? Well, it didn't. It didn't. Okay, it changed me. That's the truth. You know, I guess my little conversation with that girl showed me I was more open to relationship with God than I thought. Well, I have to go. I've got a hot date. To work in a homeless shelter. To be a missionary in India. To work for the Salvation Army. My grandmother's sick. Okay, I've got a creme brulee in the oven. Bye.
Thanks, Chanel, isn't she good? This last section is called In with the Fishes. Have you ever seen a pair of hip waders? The great big boots that come all the way up so that you can stand in the river while you fish and supposedly not get wet. Fishing is not about staying warm and dry on the shore. Good fisher folk get right in the water with the fish. They spend hours finding out where the fish are. They listen to old, wily fisher people who know how to catch fish and who know where the best pools are. They don't just get out their tackle boxes and hope that the fish jump into them. Our church is like a tackle box. We have a great treasure trove of truth, beauty, and the knowledge and love of God here. But people won't often just jump in. We need to wade into the water where it's wet, cold, slippery, and sometimes dangerous, and give people a taste of what the kingdom has to offer. Those hints of color, those flashes of light, and the scent of the eternal that take us out into the world because we know Jesus are the way that God has chosen to bring his message to humanity.